We're going to turn to the book of Acts in the chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, we're going to break into the chapter, commencing to read here from the verse 12. Trust and pray that as we consider the word, that the Lord will speak very personally and yet powerfully to each one of our souls. And that even as we read the word, the Lord will speak very loudly to us. Acts chapter 26, commencing to read here from the verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before him also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. And we trust and pray that God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his own precious and inspired word. We're turning back to the portion that we previously read from Acts chapter 26. Very well known verse here found in this chapter. The words of verse 28 we're going to consider this evening. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. At the moment, we're just going to bow together in prayer and ask the Lord to bless, but I would like to apologize because as soon as the meeting is over, I have to go to another service to speak, so I will be leaving right away. But as I said, once again, thank you for your prayers, your support, and continue to pray on. Let's just bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We bless thee for the scriptures of truth, the oracles of God, this more sure word of prophecy. We thank thee for thy word that liveth and abideth forever. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Make the word plain, clear. Lord, we pray that thou wilt tonight by thy Spirit speak to each and every heart. We love thee, Lord. We want to thank thee for saving us. Grant, Lord, that we might live to the praise of the glory of thy grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There are numerous words that could fittingly be used to summarize and describe the character of the Apostle Paul. One word that stands to the fore is certainly the word faithful. The life, testimony, and ministry of God's servant Paul was most definitely characterized by faithfulness. The Apostle Paul was a faithful man. He was a man, God's man, on a royal mission. That mission to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior, the only means of salvation to a lost and guilty fallen world. Paul was unwavering in striving to proclaim that message. He was undeterred by the opposition that he faced, along with the many hindrances and obstacles that came across his pathway. And when you consider the life of the Apostle Paul, what many obstacles and what tremendous opposition he faced. Paul, for instance, was stoned at Lystra. Just turning back a number of chapters to chapter 14, there we read about that occasion. And in the verse 19, Acts 14, and the words of verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." They actually believed that they'd killed him. Such was the stoning that he received. And let me say, there are many instances and accounts that we could highlight that shows this very fact. But Paul was someone who kept pressing on. He was a man with a mission. His whole life could really, in that sense, be summarized. Faithfulness. He wants to be faithful to the Lord, to preach Christ, to declare Christ, and to present Christ to men and women. You think of that occasion whenever Paul and Silas went to Philippi, and there they were after they'd been taken, and they were beaten, and they were treated so wickedly, so cruelly. Remember how they were put in stocks and chains, and their feet in clasps? And there, even in their prison cell, though they were beaten and bloodied and bruised, we find that at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praise unto God, and they prayed. Such was the joy that Paul had in fulfilling the word of God and the will of God. Despite the unrelenting persecution, the opposition, Paul remained faithful and kept preaching Christ crucified. One message, one Savior, one gospel. Paul didn't deviate. He didn't change the direction regarding his mission for the Lord. In fact, here in our chapter, in Acts chapter 26, as he stood here before Festus and before King Agrippa and Bernice, we actually find that he said to King Agrippa in the verse 19, he said, "O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." I've remained faithful to it. I've remained focused on that vision. He had that single focus and vision of seeing the Lord glorified through the salvation of lost, guilty souls. Now, we know that God blesses faithfulness, and therefore Paul's life, his ministry, was a life that was richly blessed of God, and it did bear and bring forth much fruit. Lives were transformed, churches established, believers were edified, and above all, God was glorified through his ministry. To the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the rich, the poor, Paul only had one message, and that was Christ. Whether it was on the street corner or in the synagogue, Paul faithfully declared the person and work of the Son of God. Now, whenever we turn to our passage here in Acts 26, we once again find Paul faithfully preaching Christ. This time, as I said, to King Agrippa, to Bernice, and to Festus. In fact, this occasion of Paul standing here and preaching before King Agrippa was in essence part of a fulfillment of what the Lord had said to Ananias regarding the scope of Paul's ministry. That he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord, and that he would bear his name to the Gentiles and to kings. And you read about that in Acts chapter 9. Here we have recorded for us Paul's address before King Agrippa. Agrippa had been asked by Festus, the governor, to help evaluate and to examine Paul in relation to the very serious accusations that were made by the Jews against him. Of course, those religious leaders, they were opposed to Paul, his preaching and his message, and they wanted him put to death. They wanted him silenced. And for his own protection, Paul was actually brought into the court and was guarded. But here we find he gives his defense to them. In fact, when we read here in the opening verse of Acts chapter 26, verse 1, we read, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." Maybe you're wondering why the preachers at times use the hand. Well, Paul used the hand. And he was preaching. And he was setting forth here the way of salvation. "Paul, you can speak for yourself." And he began once again to declare that faithful message. Paul never missed an opportunity, did he? In fact, he seized this opportunity that was given to him. And he preached about the Son of God. He also challenged the king regarding his own spiritual state. After Paul had given his own testimony as part of his address, he continued to focus on Christ, emphasizing there upon the resurrection, the fundamental truths of the resurrection of the Son of God. It was at that very moment when he spoke about the resurrection that Festus, the governor, cried out, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Paul, you're mad. Your head's not right." However, as Felix mocked and scoffed, Paul sensed that King Agrippa was very attentive to the message. In fact, he was listening carefully to what Paul had said. Look with me here in the chapter, the verse 26 and the verse 27. Verse 26, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." You can just picture Paul there as he looks Agrippa straight in the eye. And he focuses in on him, and he zeroes in, and he drives the message home to Agrippa's heart. "Agrippa, you need to be converted. You need to be saved, Agrippa." It was then at that moment that Agrippa answered, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Tonight I want us to consider the response of King Agrippa here to the Apostle Paul. Consider first of all that his response, the response of King Agrippa, reveals that he listened to what Paul was saying. He listened. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What a statement. You see, King Agrippa here shows that he understood that he needed to become a Christian. He grasped this fundamental truth that the Bible so clearly and evidently teaches, that man, in order to be saved, needs to recognize his personal need of Christ as Savior. He needs to understand, for instance, his sin. And the Bible very clearly sets forth those truths, that man is not born a Christian. We are sinners by birth, nature, and practice. Your behavior does not make you a Christian. How many people there are in this country alone who are convinced and feel that by the way they live, by the way they act and behave, the things that they do that they don't do, that qualifies them in a sense of place in heaven. It makes them right with God. It's by their own works. It's by what they do. And surely they're good enough for God. After all, they're not a murderer. They haven't taken life. They haven't committed some great crime. And they would class themselves as being good living. Well, let me say, there is all the difference in the world between someone who is good living and someone who is saved by the grace of God. Now, being saved always produces good living. But the Bible teaches us that it's not by the works of the flesh that a man is justified, by the deeds of the flesh. You're not born a Christian. Your behavior does not make you a Christian. You must become a Christian. And here we find that Agrippa, he understood that. He recognized that very fact. He personally needed to become a Christian. You must be born again. You see, King Agrippa listened to the truth. Paul faithfully proclaimed what the king needed to hear, not what the king wanted to hear. I want to make this very clear here. This was very courageous on Paul's part. Whenever we consider the history, the family history of the king before him, King Agrippa. King Agrippa was also known as Herod Agrippa II. Now, whenever you read the New Testament and you read about the Herods there are different Herods mentioned in the New Testament. All of them members of that Herod family, that Herod dynasty. This king being the last in that line. Turn with me, please, just back to Acts in the chapter 12, because I want you to understand something about the boldness and the courage of Paul here to declare what God had laid in his heart. King Agrippa, also known as King Herod Agrippa II. Acts chapter 12, verse 1, now about that time Herod, that's Herod Agrippa I, the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So here is his father. And here's the family history. His father killed the Lord's servant. He put him to death. He actually wanted to put Peter to death. We also find here that this king, King Agrippa, that his great-grandfather was Herod the Great, the one who was ruling at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had all the infants, 2 years in age, 2 years of age and under, all wiped out and killed. That's the family history of some of it. There's a lot more to the family. And yet despite the Herod dynasty against the gospel, Paul here stands before a man knowing that at any moment He could have his head removed, put to death. And yet Paul unwaveringly preaches Christ, because Paul must preach to all men and women that same message of salvation through the blood. Notice some of the things here that Paul preached to the king. How was it that Agrippa really understood that he needed to become a Christian? Well, there are lots of things that Paul led before him. Turn with me to here, to, for instance, to verse 18. Because here, verse 18 in our chapter 26, we read, and the Lord Jesus here was speaking, and Paul was reminding King Agrippa of that meeting, the Damascus Road, and what had taken place, and how the Lord had given him this mission, and what he must say. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And that phrase, in me, that's, of course, the Lord Jesus speaking, faith in Christ. A number of things that are I just want to highlight here to you in these very words alone that Paul here brought and he emphasized to King Agrippa. He emphasized the fall, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You see, man is naturally blinded in sin. Man does not know or understand his need of God and the need to turn to God, because man is blinded in his sin and he's headed towards everlasting ruin. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, John Newton said. Spiritually blind, I couldn't see. But now I see. Not only is the fall mentioned, but also freedom. We read the words here in verse 18, and from the power of Satan unto God. Oh, praise God, there is glorious, wonderful freedom through Christ. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Man who is a slave to sin and a slave to Satan can be freed. And that's the message that Paul preached. There's also forgiveness. Here mentioned in verse 18, not only the fall and freedom, but forgiveness, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. To become a Christian means that your sins are forgiven, they're pardoned, they're under the blood, you're cleansed. Reconciliation. Made at one with God through the blood of Christ. And here Paul, in this verse, reminds Agrippa about the future, an inheritance among them which are sanctified. You see, the Christian has a new future. He's a new family. He's part of the family of God. But what a glorious future we have. We're just strangers, pilgrims passing through. We're going home to glory. We're going home to Emmanuel's land. And sooner, even perhaps than we anticipated, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. What a future the Christian has. To be a Christian involves that. And of course, faith is here spoken of. But here the verse ends, by faith that is in me. You see, freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. Forgiveness of sin. That new future. It's only attained by becoming a Christian in and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here also something that Paul brought before this king. Verse 20 tells us that he preached about repentance. Paul showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Agrippa, you need to repent. You need to turn away from your sin. You need to embrace Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. And he spoke here about the need to have works meet for repentance. In other words, proof of repentance. Salvation always brings a change. What a wonderful change it brings. And we find here also in verse 22 and verse 23, now we haven't time to go into all of these aspects, but this is what Agrippa listened to. I want you to understand that when he made this statement, it was on the basis of what he had been hearing. Look at verse 22 and verse 23, because here Paul preaches about the prophets and Moses in verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. He preached the resurrection. He preached of a Savior who died on the cross, who rose again, who's coming again. What a message Agrippa heard. Paul sought to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian. And we can be absolutely sure and certain that with all of his energy and all of his reasoning, Paul sought to lay before this man the great claims of the gospel in Christ, that he might come to know the Lord. I want you to see here that he kept bringing him back to Scripture. Paul didn't set forth his own arguments or his own ideas. He simply kept bringing King Agrippa back to the Scriptures. Look at verse 26, where he said, "For the king knoweth of these things, before him also I speak freely." None of those things were hidden from him. Verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." In other words, Agrippa, you know that what I'm saying is truth. You know that. So Agrippa here listened to the truth, but he also looked at a transformed life, and what a life stood before him. He could not deny the reality of what Paul was preaching. Paul was preaching a full, free salvation, and here he was, a living example of it. Paul here gave his testimony. But in that record, Paul spoke of the type of man that he used to be. Look at the verse 9, where Paul here says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Notice the word contrary, the complete opposite. He was opposed to the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, we could go as far as to say that he hated the name of Christ. Look at verse 10. "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." In fact, there are numerous passages that highlight the campaign, if we could term and use that terminology, to describe the mission that Paul had before his conversion against the church. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, if you want the reference. Acts 22, verse 4. Then in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, he said that he persecuted the church of God beyond measure. Couldn't even measure it. Here before King Agrippa stood a man whose life was wonderfully transformed by the gospel. Agrippa no doubt marveled as he looked at Paul. A man who, with all the passion and love that he had, preached the Savior who rescued him and who loved a fallen world. Can I say, can't deny the power of a changed life. Moving along very quickly, we find here that King Agrippa not only listened to the word, but King Agrippa was also found lacking. He wasn't altogether persuaded. "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He had heard the message, but he didn't heed it. And can it be said of someone here this evening, you're listening to the message now, here in the church or perhaps online, and you have heard the Word of God faithfully proclaimed week after week, and we can say that without any shadow of a doubt, that month after month, faithfully, the Word of God has been proclaimed to your soul. by the Reverend Higginson, by Dr. Douglas, by others who have loved you and sought to preach Christ to you, and yet tonight still finds you not a Christian. Almost, but not altogether. No doubt, Agrippa had weighed up the cost involved. Luke 14 reminds us of the very fact that before a person build a tower, he was to build a structure, he was to count the cost. And that's a good thing to do. You need to weigh up the cost. What it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian, of course, means that Jesus Christ comes in front of everyone and everything. He comes first. We're to seek first the kingdom of God. What was it that kept this king back from becoming a Christian? From being altogether persuaded? Let me just give you some very brief reasons. Number one, his position. He was a ruler, after all, a king. His position was one of royal privilege. Turn with me back just a chapter to Acts chapter 25 and look here at the words of verse 23 where we read, "And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come and Bernice with great pomp and was entered into the palace of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth with great pomp." And now you had all the trappings. You had all that would go with that royal entourage. And the word pomp is the word fantasia. It literally means fantasy or empty show. And in many respects here, looking at King Agrippa, we could say, here was a man, and in the eyes of the world, he had the position. He was living the dream. That's what the sense is. He had it all, and yet in reality he had nothing. His passion is also another reason, no doubt, that Agrippa had thought about. There are some who believe that he was in an incestuous relationship here with his sister, Bernice. And that there, as he would look at his sister in that relationship, that he was not willing to become a Christian. Many years ago, I had opportunity to speak to a man, and he was under deep conviction of sin. Myself and another brother in the Lord, we talked to him. He told us of how, as a younger man, he was down in the city of Belfast one day, and there was an army checkpoint. He was asked to get out of his car. He went to the boot of the car to open it up for the soldier. And he said, as he stood there, and he opened the boot, he heard a gunshot, and the young soldier right beside him, standing right beside him, slumped down and fell down dead. He was shot in the head. He said, you know, I've often thought about that day. He says, I can't get it out of my mind's eye. I can't forget about it. And I've often thought there was just a very small region of error there. It could have been me. We pressed upon him the need to become a Christian, to be saved, to turn from sin. But then he turned to his partner. And he looked over and he said, But for me to become a Christian will mean I will have to give her up. Now, whatever the sin is in your life, you have to be willing to repent, to turn away from it. Popularity, pleasure, no doubt pride was a great factor. It was really the problem of his heart, but Agrippa wasn't willing to turn to the Lord. Agrippa's response showed that he listened, that he was lacking, but in closing, very briefly, his response was really lamentable. What a tragedy. To be nearly convinced, to be almost persuaded. Reminds us, doesn't it, of the rich young ruler who came before the Lord, seeking to know about eternal life and the way of salvation. Young man who came seeking. But I went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to turn away from the sin in his heart. Paul's desire was that he would be altogether persuaded. He'd be fully convinced. What about you? Are you almost persuaded? Almost! It's not enough. If you heard a report on the news, and the report went something along the lines that an apartment block was on fire and a person was almost saved from the fire, you know what that means. They perished. Will you come to Christ? Will you trust Christ? I trust, pray that you will.